Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Destroyed, and I believe that's really what he's saying, is these things that have been an issue, these things that we're praying about, it's like we're walking on the dry land, and the enemy may be trying to pursue, but he's going to get completely, that water is just going to come over him and be destroyed. So anyway, I'm just excited. He is the great I am. You know, and that's one of the things that he wants us to know him as the great I am. And so, it's exciting. It's exciting. He's so good. It's like I want to just say, you know, it's like, okay, I want us to meet him, you know. That's some of the things I'm going to talk about tonight, is about meeting him, to really know him. I've been on the subject of intimacy with God, and just not only in our individual lives, but also in the corporate setting, you know, here, and because we're preparing an atmosphere to host his presence. And I know that there are other people hungry in the house for that, and I've said that before, and we're hungry. I'm telling you, we're on the edge of, and again, it's not because, he's been looking for people who are hungry, and that's what catches God's attention, is hunger, you know. And so he saw New Life Christian Center as a place of hunger. And so, you know, and it's like, it's been this building and building and building and building and building, and it's like, whew, we're here, and it's now, and it's exciting, and it's like this great leap into this ocean of who he is. And so we all get to do it, you know, if we want to, you know. But anyway, let me pray real quick about just that he would speak just exactly what he wants to say, because that's what I want. I don't want it to be me. Father, we just love and praise your name, and we just want to thank you, God, for your manifest encounters tonight. And we're just having expectation for more, Father. We just thank you for more. And I just thank you, Father God, as I minister your word tonight, that, Father, you have something to say to me, and you have something to say to everyone in here, Father God. And so I just thank you that, God, you'll speak your word to us. And, God, it's going to go down deep inside of us, and it's something that we just think about. And we bring it up in our mind, and we go over it, Father God. And it's something that we just munch on, Father God. And it gets down deep inside of us, and it just changes us. And I thank Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, I've been on this subject of intimacy with God, and it's so funny, you know, you start off, you know, I was typing away, you know, with this message and everything, and it is just endless, you know, and it can just go on forever, because it's just that kind of a subject, which with God, you can just do that with anything, as Pastor Coven knows, because he could go on and on, and Pastor Marcia, on and on and on with different things that they're teaching on. But I just want to go over a couple of things that I went over last week. I keep trying to remember, where did I stop, which I'm not exactly sure when, I just wanted to mention we had talked about the new covenant last week in Hebrews 10:19 through 23. We were talking about God's, the relationship that God has with us, that it's a betrothal relationship. He looks at us as his bride. That bride covenant that he has with us, you know, I talked about how, you know, the new covenant in the New Testament with Jesus paying he was really the bride price for us to have this relationship with God, and that, you know, when Jesus, paid that price, that, you know, that veil was torn, and we have access to go into the Holy of Holies. And God's just waiting for us there, and it's up to us to go through, as pastors talked about, going through the veil. And so there shouldn't be any hindrances, but there are, some things that we need to look at in our own lives to prepare an atmosphere to have that kind of intimate and those intimate encounters that he desires to have with us, because his pastor's been telling us all along that, you know, God did everything that he did to restore us back to the garden, into that relationship where Adam and Eve walked in the garden naked and unafraid. And that's where God wants to bring us back to, and that's where we're really, that's where he considers us to be, but we have to get it in our heads that that's really where we're at, you know. That's how he looks at us, and there shouldn't be anything that keeps us from that. I'm going to just skip ahead real quick to, let me see how much time I've got. Okay. I talked about the fact that, you know, God is the faithful God in this covenant relationship. You know, it's that marriage covenant, and he never is unfaithful to us. We're the ones that can be unfaithful in the relationship. But he always wants to restore us back to that place of first love. You know, when we make a mistake along the way, his desire is to forgive us. You know, when we come and ask him to forgive us, he's quick to forgive and cleanse us, you know, of our unrighteousness. And he forgets what we did, you know. He doesn't hold, an account of what we did. He makes the choice to forgive, and he makes the choice to restore us back to that place of first love. And I thought about that place of first love. When you think about when you ask Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior, everything was butterflies and rainbows because you realized where he brought you from. It's like when I got saved, I had this experience with God. I had a lot of mental issues, and I dealt with depression. And I had an encounter with God in the basement of my house, and I literally had the weight of depression lifted. I felt it lift off of me. And I went to work the next day, and I was like, woo! You know, I was light as a feather, and the receptionist at our office knew something had happened because she was a Christian, and she looked at me, and I said, I got saved. And she was like, woo! You know, she was excited, you know, and it was, woo! You know, Jesus, 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 I love you, love you, love you. And you know how it was when you look back at that time of that first love experience. Well, God's still there. And, you know, over the years and the busyness of our lives and everything, we can kind of have a tendency to kind of part away from that some. But God always is back at that place, you know, when he asks, you know, when we ask for forgiveness in our unfaithfulness and he restores us, he takes and goes back to that beautiful place. And he restores us back to that place of, I'm your husband, you know, and I just love that. So I wanted to remind you guys of that. I love that Hesed word, you know, that loving kindness that God has for us, which is the unswerving devotion which fulfills the responsibilities arising from a relationship. So when you think about your marriage and the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs and the difficult times you've gone along the way, anybody who's been married for any length of time, you know, you've been there in the good times and the bad if you've made a commitment to stay, you know. Well, God even more so is committed to us in the good times and the bad. And, you know, he does not ever, ever leave us nor forsake us, even more so than our spouses on this earth. And so it's just beautiful. You know, he's committed to fulfilling the requirements of this covenant relationship. He's going to do it no matter what. You know, we fail on our part, but he's going to fulfill his part. But I love that that part about I wanted to just remind us of the scripture in Hosea 2:19 through 20, where God says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and loving kindness and in compassion, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. And that then you will know the Lord is that yada word, which is that acknowledge. And I wanted just to remind you of this, that it's in covenantal context that you see that word, and it's the sense of recognize. And in Hebrew thought, such recognition was not a mere mental exercise. It implied action. And so for us, it implies action for us. You know, we're going to know him because, you know, this is his promise to us that he's going to betroth himself to us forever. So on our part, we need to be doing being faithful to him and fulfilling our part of the covenant towards him. So I want to move on to a really important subject, and it's reverence. It's reverence towards God. We can't really cultivate an environment to host his presence unless we really learn what reverence is. And we are in a society where reverence is not something that is held in any sort of high measure. And I was thinking about Pastor Kova had an encounter with a young person recently who was very disrespectful to you, I believe, in the account that you made. It was a person who ran through the yard, or they made ruts in the. Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, there's just a general sense of a lack of respect in our country, you know. It's a serious matter with God, you know. I wanted to read an account in Numbers because I think it's something that is good to explain what I'm trying to get across. But it's in Numbers 12, 1 through 8. The people of Israel are on the brink of going in, they're sending out the spies. They're getting ready to send out the spies into the promised land. This account occurs in Numbers 12, 1, and I'll read it real quick. It says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?' And the Lord heard it." And I just want to stop there for a minute because, you know, we have a tendency to, we have it, or at least I know I do, we can be kind of lackadaisical in our issue of respect. You know, God expects us to obviously honor him and respect him, but we're supposed to honor and respect those authorities that are over us. And I have to tell you, if you're not honoring and respecting the authorities that are over you in this world, you really aren't honoring and respecting God. And it's a serious matter with God. Now, I want to keep reading here. It says in here, in verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, 'You three come out to the tent of meeting.' So the three of them came out." Now, I don't know if I would want to go to this meeting, okay? There's something going to happen, and I'd just like not to be there, you know? "Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam when they had both come forward. He said, 'Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" Now, I'd be a little bit concerned, you know. And the reason I bring this up is because we can be really, really lackadaisical in this whole issue of respect and regard. Here Moses was put over the people of Israel. You know, he's God's representative on the earth. And they were jealous of him. And so they spoke out against him. And God heard it. And the thing that's interesting about Moses is he's identified as such a humble man. You know, he's not out trying to parade himself around as some, "Woo, I'm the leader," you know, "I'm woohoo," you know, "I'm," you know, and putting on airs. Or he's not doing that at all. In fact, if you read about Moses, he tried to disqualify himself when God called him to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He told God, "You know, I can't speak right." He told God all these things about himself that, you know, "Hey, I'm not the one. This, I mean, you need somebody else." But God's like, "No, I chose you." He chose him because he was a humble man. And Moses gave God honor. And God, he gave him respect, you know. And so, It's really important with this whole issue of reverence that we take it seriously about reverencing, respecting those that are in authority over us on this earth, as well as honoring and respecting God. I just want to make that point, because if I am, say in my job, Pastor Kova and Pastor Marsha are my bosses. Not only are they my pastors, but they're my bosses. You know, I work at New Life Christian Academy. Well, what if I just decided to just start talking bad about them behind their backs? You know, I just can't believe they want me to do this or that or the other. Do you not think it takes you back to this moment of Moses and Aaron and Miriam? I mean, it's that serious. And that's what I'd say to you is in your jobs, in our relationships with our spouses, you know, wives are supposed to reverence their husbands. You know, is it an old-fashioned thing? You know, just because in this culture that we live in, specifically in America, we live in a very disrespectful culture. Does that mean I need to act that way? No. And it maybe people might think I'm old-fashioned if I, you know, recognize this the importance of respect and reverence, you know, for my spouse, but also for those in authority over me, and choose not to participate talking negatively about those that are in authority over me. God takes that so seriously. And it's very much a key part of, if you want to press into God and have those intimate encounters with Him, you have to have this area of our lives right, because really it points to pride if we are, you know, talking bad about others and acting that way. It really reveals in us a prideful heart, and God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God's attracted to humble people. You know, it's a character trait that He likes, and I'm going to talk about what humility is in a few minutes, because it's really a partner with reverence. And, you know, Pastor Kova talked about honor and humility last year, and there's a reason. God's trying to get our attention, because we really need to set an environment and an atmosphere in here corporately, but also in our personal lives, to host His presence, because that's His desire. And He wants us to go through the veil, have this wonderful relationship with Him, talk to Him in the garden like it was in the garden. But in order to have that kind of a relationship, we have to have this right in our lives. So I can't stress the importance of it enough. Now, one of the things I would say too, like when we come in here into, you know, some of your older folks probably remember when they had meetings at churches where they would lock the back doors. You would come in and you weren't going to leave until the meeting was over. You know, that's one of the things. On a Sunday morning, we don't lock the doors. Praise the Lord. I do have to use the restroom at times, you know, and I try to make sure I don't go, you know, I try to go in the middle, you know, before, you know, in between. But, you know, we need to show up when church starts. We need to show up before church starts. Don't you come to work on time? You know, I should come to church on time. I shouldn't be late. If I'm consistently late to church, and listen, I understand, you know, people have little kids. I have little kids, you know, and, you know, trying to get everybody dressed and out the door and everything, it can be a task, but we need to do our best and have the perspective that that's what I want to do. I want to make it there on time, and I want to make it there for the whole service. We don't need to come in the middle of the service. We need to come at the very beginning, because that's really showing honor and respect to God. You know, that's showing Him, you matter to me. You're that important to me, God, that I'm going to show up on time, and I'm going to be here worshiping and praising you, and I'm going to pay attention during the service or during the time of the word. And one of the things I'd like to say is these right here are a blessing and a curse, you know. And a lot of us have, you know, electronic devices to look up the Bible. But if it's a temptation for you to look at Facebook, you need to get an old-fashioned Bible and bring it. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to say, you know, isn't He more important? Can you not spend 2 hours with Him uninterrupted where your attention is on Him? You know, that should be it. We, and you know, when we're in here, our attention should be focused here on him. And when you're presenting the word, both of you, when you're up here presenting the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus, we're getting Jesus on a Sunday morning. You know, you're getting Jesus up here when we're talking, you know, because we seek God and we ask him, what do you want to say to us? We're not getting up here coming up with something on, oh, I just got to drum up something. You know, it's because God spoke a word to them to speak to us. And so it should be precious because Jesus is precious to me. You know, the word should be precious to us. And so we need to show that honor to him. And so I can't stress that enough. When you do that, I tell you, you know, there's times when you think, oh, God's so far away. He's not far away. It's just that you're not. You have to ask yourself, what am I doing? You know, he's got it all opened up to you know, for me to walk through. But I have a tendency, you know, I can be sloppy in my way of approaching him, you know. You know, if you think about it, if we had a dignitary walk through the doors of the church, you know, President Trump or somebody or some, you know, official leader, I mean, you know, we would be, you know, our attention would be turned. And I understand we don't see God with our eyes. We see him in our spirit, you know. We connect with him in our spirit. But we have to cultivate a sense of his presence. We have to cultivate that sense of his manifest presence, the fact that he is with me every day. And it'll change the way that you operate when you do that. It's like, you know, he's right there with you. He really is, but we have a tendency to not think about it because I can't see him with my eyes. Because we, you know, so we've got to just start to cultivate that perspective of his presence is always with me. And one of the things I wanted to point out is that, you know, God is not an elected leader. We have to really remember that. You know, I'm blessed to live in the United States of America. I am so blessed. We are stinking blessed. We have no reason to complain in this country. None. I mean, when you look at what other people deal with and the fact that we can sit in this church and we can sing and I can bring my Bible, we are stinking blessed. Stinking blessed. And because we're stinking blessed, we need to be valuing this word. And we need to remember that, you know, just because I can elect a leader or whoever, I'm not electing God. I'm part of a king. You know, I'm part of the kingdom. You know, I serve a king. He is Lord of my life. He is the boss. He is the ultimate boss of my life. Okay, I'm not the boss. You know, when I try to be the boss, I get myself in trouble. You know, and so it is critically important that we understand his lordship, his kingship, and it will change the way that you approach him. When you come through the doors of the church, you're going to come in a way that recognizes the fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. And you know, EJ and all the different worship team members, they're preparing. You guys come up here on Wednesday night, you stay late, and you practice on Sunday morning. Why do you do that? Tell me, why do you do that? What's the importance of that?
I think it's important once we get that time in his presence, mm-hmm. It'll just make it that much easier for us to express our praise in that time frame. And it's, I don't know, I just love the fact that we get to do that because we get to practice and get to have that time with God before we go in front of the people. Get all the stuff that you do.
Yes.
Not distractions.
The things that happen. Yeah, and you know, it's a preparation, and we need to prepare ourselves when we come into the house of the Lord. You know, I do better. You know, when we come in and everybody has a busy life. I get it. You know. But if you can just take, you know, I set apart a time in, you know, daily to meet with God because he's very important to me, you know. And I was discussing this with Gladys, you know, having time with that significant other is so important to show them that you value and you love them. And so you need to do that. And you, so that if you do that before you come to church, you're so prepared to walk in and connect into what you're already doing. Because really, you know what you're doing is you're preparing this wonderful banquet for the King of Kings. You know, when you guys get up there and you're worshiping the Lord, if I could just give you a mental picture, it's like they're preparing this wonderful feast for God and saying, "Ooh, come on in. We want to feast with you, Lord. We want to dine with you. We want to have this experience with you." So they're up there and you guys are in your zone, you know, and they're not up here to entertain us. They're here to usher in the presence and the power of the great I Am, Yahweh, the one who is and was and is to come, the self-existent one, the one that always existed, because I'm the created one and he's the creator. And so I need to, what was I created to do? Worship, praise, adore, love him. And so we need to come in with that mindset. Come in on time, come in prepared, come in with an expectation. So like tonight, you guys came in with an expectation, and that whole thing, you know, with praying, you know, you had a lot, there was a lot of prayer requests. There's a lot of need, but we have this huge expectation to hear back the wonderful miracles that God's going to do in the lives of the people that we've had prayer for. Because he's meeting with us, because we want him, and we are honoring him. He can't resist that. You know, we need to be irresistible to him, okay? How can I be irresistible to him? When I give him honor to whom honor is due, when I reverence him, I become irresistible. You know, he wants to be here with me, and I give him the ability to come and meet with me. Now, I want to talk about that, the whole issue of reverence. I want to break it down a little bit. In Psalm 89, because, you know, sometimes I feel like we just don't know him. You know, and that's one of the things I want to say real quick before I go on is, you know, we have a tendency to put God in a box. You know, oh, he's my dad, he's my best friend, you know, he's this or that or the other. And I have to tell you one thing, we can make him like the golden calf, like the Israelites did. They wanted something they could see with their eyes sitting in front of them. Well, I can't do that to God. If I do that to him, then I'm limiting him in my life. I need to know who the great I Am is. I need to know all the facets of who he is. And so I'm going to read this, and I know we're close to stopping here. But do we really know who God is? And in Psalm 89, 6 through 8, it says, "For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him. A Lord, O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you." And in the verse 7, I wanted to read this in the New King James Version. It says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him." What does it mean? You know, we say, okay, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. You know, oh, you know, and perfect love casts out fear, and that's true. But we need to understand what this word feared means. It is to regard and to treat with awe. Do you treat God with awe? You have to ask yourself that. Do you treat God with awe? Do you treat him with reverence? There is an aspect of fear in that too. And it's because of the position that he holds. And I was trying to think of a good way to explain it. You know, I thought about the father relationship. Unfortunately, in the time frame we're in today, lots of, you know, families are broken and the father relationship isn't the best. But if you could imagine the perfect father, who is our dad, who's looking out for us, you know, you want to make sure that you follow what your father wants you to do, because there's consequences. You know, are the consequences for not doing his will because does he take pleasure in those negative consequences that come to us because we make a choice to do something other than he tells us to do? He takes no pleasure in that, you know, but he wants the best for us, and he wants us to live and not die. He wants us to have a long, fruitful, prosperous life. And so our Father in heaven, you know, we should have that perspective and that attitude of, well, Dad probably wouldn't want me to do that, you know, or I might get in trouble, you know. I don't want to do that, you know, because, you know, I want to please my father, you know. I want to, you know, and so that's that issue of respect and honor, you know. You know, in some cultures that the reverence for the elders is a big deal. I know in the Indian culture it is a very big deal. You honor your parents, you know. We need to honor God. And so I'm going to have to close with that, and I'll get back to it next week. But it's just important. I would like you to think about it. Really think about that. I want you to just really ask yourself, am I really showing God the honor to whom honor is due? You know, that reverence. You know, ask yourself. Really think about it. Let's pray. Father, we just love and praise your name, and we just thank you, God, for the opportunity to know you even more, deeper, Father God. You're faithful, you're true, you're loving, you're kind, you're good, and we love you, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you bless the people as they leave tonight, give them traveling mercies as they go home, and just bless this evening, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.